Good evening, folks. My name is Roger Cleveland. I'm your highway superintendent. I want to welcome you to our meeting tonight. The real focus of this meeting tonight is going to be on some improvements that are being proposed for the what we have coined as the Oxford Road, Tibbetts Road, Kellogg Road area. And just like to start, before we get into the engineering aspects of it, just start by reading something to you that kind of gives you a little bit of a background, a little bit of a flavor for what's gotten us to this point here tonight. In the fall of 2006, there was a series of bond issues proposed by the town. One of these was to advance stormwater improvements to certain problem areas in the town. There were a series of areas that had been identified where the town has experienced repetitive drainage problems, resulting in significant maintenance issues and damage to public and private property. In the spring of 2007, the stormwater bond issue was approved by the voters to address these significant problem locations. The town knows that there are other more casual issues throughout the town. However, the purpose of the stormwater bond was to fund improvements at the most significant of these locations, basically through control to manage the discharge of the water courses and the cascading of runoff across properties resulting from storm events that weren't contained within the existing stream channels or installed infrastructure. Many of these areas where these problems existed contained significant development, in some cases from the top of the watershed to the bottom. This obviously limits the land area on which to site stormwater control infrastructure. In others, such as the one we will look at tonight, only the lower portions are fully developed, leaving some land area to work with. In general, however, it was and remains today our belief that within reason, both engineering-wise and cost-wise, significant improvements can be installed in all of the identified sub-areas. The stormwater bond issue was approved in the spring of 2007, and shortly thereafter, the town board reviewed letters of interest from a number of private citizens who desired to be involved with this initiative. The selected citizens worked in concert with representatives from the planning board, highway advisory committee, the town board liaisons, and staff, and formed the stormwater working group. And several of those folks are here with us tonight. Bob Payne over on my far right as councilman, Ken Lowell is from our Highway Advisory Committee, and Liz DiGeronimo is a private citizen who was interested in working on this initiative. We spent much of the fall and the summer of 2007 educating ourselves to the problem areas, trying to get a handle on the complexities. At the same time, there was a drainage problem location that had issues such as with interfering with emergency services during flooding incidents, one that was almost certain to surface as a flooding location during any significant runoff event, and one that the town had some data on from other land use planning activities, and finally one that the town had already begun to analyze for mitigation assessment. This was what we coined the Oxford Kellogg Tibbetts subarea. With this background, the stormwater group progressed further study of this subarea. We had very lengthy and detailed discussions in this subarea, some of which included the topics of land acquisition and responsibility. The outcome of these discussions now provide the basis for the group's approach to analyzing mitigation and other problem areas. One of the elements of mitigation of the subarea is to install detention basins. To accomplish this, an amount of land must be secured. Issues of eminent domain and condemnation were discussed and dismissed as not appropriate in this situation on advice of counsel. We discussed the issue of responsibility to the cause of flooding in the subarea. Our council, our engineers, and our stormwater group discussed the number of people who were involved in the subdivision review, the analysis of stormwater management, and the variety of approaches taken and the results. We now know more about the intricacies of analyzing the runoff from crops versus fields versus subdivision development, and can now apply that knowledge to other projects in the future. No one individual was responsible for flooding at the Oxford-Kellogg intersection. In fact, the intersection has had a history of periodic flooding well before any development occurred uphill. Instead of pointing fingers and expending monies on legal actions, we needed to draw a line and say, that's what's here. This is where we start. And this is what we have to work with as we move forward with these improvements. Time and money spent in legal proceedings doesn't get the job done of attenuating flooding. It might make some people feel better, but it doesn't protect property and give our residents more peace of mind. And that's what the bond issue was really intended for. Lastly, on the matter of land acquisition, land, like every other commodity, is a matter of supply and demand. Within reason, regardless of what it's assessed for, the selling price is what you can purchase it for. 2 years ago, our technical consultants estimated a price of $90,000 for the land necessary to install the improvements. An appraisal was done earlier this year showing over $10,000 more of additional estimated value. Our negotiated price was $97,500. Again, the price is what it is, depending on how badly you need whatever you are trying to purchase. In this case, the two parcels were needed for the improvements, which is really the centerpiece of this project. I'm now going to ask our technical consultant, Shoemaker Engineering, to do a presentation on the proposed improvements. At the end of that, I'll open up the meeting to questions. This is not a general informational meeting on the bond issue. We're here to listen and ask questions on the improvements being proposed for this project. We welcome your input and your suggestions for installing improvements to the sub-area, and I ask only that we keep our discussions focused on this project. Sometimes toward the middle of the summer, probably late July, there will be an information session on the overall bond improvement program, which will be both for the board and the public. So if you have questions tonight or concerns on project other than this, I'll be more than glad. I'll stay as long as it takes and certainly take your comments and input. But what we're trying to do is, as we move through project by project, is have an information session so that the people who live in that particular sub-area can learn about what's being proposed, ask questions, give us your input. We're certainly willing and able to take this and see if we can apply it. So I guess without further ado, I would ask Kurt from Shoemaker Engineering, who has been our technical consultant along with Chet, to give us a presentation.
Thanks, Roger. My name is Kurt Nichols. I'm an engineer with Shoemaker Engineering. I'm here with Chet Slimansky. He's also an engineer. We are the team of, and there's actually two other individuals involved with this project. We've been working on the Oxford Tibbetts Jubilee Estates drainage area for almost a year now. I'll just tell you, it's a very, very intricate system of storm drains, and it grew from the bottom up. As the valley developed, it was added on, and new drainage patterns were made, and ditches were dug, and as it goes up, sometimes it's easy to lose track of some of the infrastructure that's installed down below. So it's changes that were made at the top, sometimes lose sight of what's actually available down at the bottom. I'm talking about Kellogg Road area. We have a short PowerPoint show we'd like to give you tonight. It's going to talk about what we propose and how we go about proposing it and some of the basics of how the improvements are going to be made and what you're going to see downstream, what some of the impacts of these engineering changes are going to be. So without holding this off any longer, I'm going to cut out the front light. Can everybody see that over there? If you want to pick up and move your chair around, it'd be fine with me. Take a few minutes now to do it. Yeah, we could use that screen. We didn't know if it was going to be big enough. You want to use that? Fine.
Just his thought, that's all.
Well, if it makes it easier, we'll try. Just rotate it. Okay. Do that. You got a lot of cool. How about that? There you go, Chad.
Thank you.
Is that big enough? Everybody see it? Good idea. You get points. We solve your problems first. No, just kidding. This is a very serious issue because I know a lot of people are having a lot of property damage and a lot of issues come up that we don't know about. Okay, I'm just going to, you may have seen us standing in your front yard sometime over the past 9 months. We go up every time it rains, we run up, we're from Utica, we live here, and we work here. We know, we read about it in the Observer Dispatch, we hear it, we come to the meetings, so we definitely know your issue. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but does that include Woodbury Road?
No, ma'am.
No.
No, ma'am.
So we're here for nothing.
We're working on Woodbury, I'll tell you that.
You better do it quickly because you're drowning. Honestly, I'm drowning.
We're going to talk today about one solution to a problem that's culminated over the years. It's at the northeast corner of Jubilee Estates, and we're going to provide some stormwater detention facilities on the property that's currently made up of Jubilee Estates. Next slide, please. This is an aerial photograph of the entire Tibbetts Road, Oxford Road, Kellogg Road drainage area. It's pretty tight. There are some panels on the sidewall. After the meeting, if you'd like to go look at these, feel free to do that. There are 8 sub-areas in this drainage area that have been studied in detail, and all of the water originates up along Snowden Hill Road in various ways. Also, stormwater starts along the western boundary of Jubilee Estates, Longworth Estates, Janet Terrace, and all the way down, we're at the library right here, and it ends up down in what we call the Flatlands, which is right behind the library here. It gets trapped down next to the railroad, it goes under the railroad and is eventually detained in a regional detention basin between the railroad tracks and New York State Route 8. That is a very good and beneficial basin right there. Unfortunately, over time, it's proving to be, it's getting the water to it is more of an issue than its actual function itself. The water from these sub-areas here, which are, we call the Snowden sub-area, the Tibbetts sub-area, all the way down to the Hannaford and the radio stations in Oxford Town, ends up there. It does not go through the stormwater in these areas that I just said, does not pass through the corrective measures we're going to talk about tonight. It actually follows drainage gorges that ends up down next to the town offices and the police station on Kellogg Road. So that water is diverted through channels elsewhere. The two sub-areas that we're going to talk about tonight that seem to be providing and producing the stormwater runoff that's causing the most damage in the Oxford Town area and along Oxford Road and Kellogg Road, especially the reaches of Kellogg Road beyond the shopping center, between, say, the shopping center and Oxford Road, is generated at two sub-areas. We call them sub-areas. Two pieces of real estate make up roughly 95 acres combined. That is almost bound by the Jubilee Estates subdivision, as well as about 50% of the Longworth Acres subdivision, the frontage of it, basically. Longworth does have a detention basin on it, and that is a great help. But what our solution is going to be is to further attenuate the flow that would come off of Longworth, that ultimately culminates itself at the corner of Jubilee Estates, right about where the laser pointer is right there. If you've driven by there, there's a big gunited outfall. The water comes down a large swale, it hits the gunited wall, and sometimes at certain stage storms, it tops over and goes on to Oxford Road. And if it doesn't, then it goes down Oxford Road and hits a driveway culvert ultimately, which is very small size, and kicks it onto Oxford Road. And from there, once it gets onto Oxford Road, it goes across Kellogg, into the residential yards on the other side of Kellogg. In this area right about here, I need to gyro stabilize this thing. I'm sorry, I'm at a long range. Right about here, Oxford Road, Kellogg Road, it kicks over onto Oxford Road and then down into Oxford Town in an uncontrolled manner, which is where you folks are having your difficulties.
No, it stops at 24 Gates.
Okay, it stops at their house, most of it.
I guess you're great.
But that's the problem. The water's jumping out of the installed infrastructure, and it's getting out in an uncontrolled manner, going down across Oxford Road, across Kellogg Road, into people's yards, through their garages, through their basements, and that is, in essence, the problem.
Next slide, please.
So, closer up view, this is the area where we've put our focus on this project. We are working on other projects. So the focus of this project is how to deal with these two areas that are comprised of roughly 95 acres of land, which is currently proposed for development into residential subdivisions. Longworth Drainage Area, we call it, because it's long part of Longworth Acres, and the Jubilee Drainage Area, which is currently under construction. This is an old photograph. There are many more houses there now, so that has changed. So, and every time a new house gets built, you get a little bit more runoff because there's another roof, another driveway, another tennis court, another. It just keeps going. And anytime anybody builds a yard or an impervious surface or a roof, that water goes right to the ground, 100% of it, any rainwater that hits that roof, and it increases the runoff from the property. And so as this site develops, this problem up here is not getting much better. It's in fact getting worse. So this is the proposed infrastructure that we have laid out. We have an existing detention pond on Longworth Acres and a structure. Water comes out of the structure on Longworth Acres, comes down the ditch at Tibbetts Road. There's an 18-inch cross culvert already there that kicks that water from Longworth across Tibbetts Road to the north. And then, right now, that water continues down the ditches, goes down to Oxford Road, turns the corner in a fairly good-sized stone structure. If anybody's walked it, you'll see that's a nice reinforced stone wall. Turns the corner, heads off Oxford Road, going down towards Oxford Town, and then it gets hit with this long drainage swale that takes drainage from the residences on Jubilee Estates. Once it hits here, the infrastructure from this point all the way to Oxford Town is stressed. And we found actually on storms, as small as, I'll refer to it as a two-year periodicity storm, a storm which statistically we receive every 2 years, is actually not able to be handled by the downstream infrastructure along Oxford Road, under Oxford Road, down into Oxford Town, etc. So that's the problem. The problem is we got more water than the downstream infrastructure can handle. And that happens when towns grow outward. As you grow outward, the infrastructure at the lower areas becomes tested. And unless it's very, very organized, a new city, you know, Dale City, Virginia, where it's engineered, you know, out to the 20-mile radius, it's very hard to keep your eye on that target sometimes. And what we have now, we're going to zero in a little bit more, and Chet's going to take over and talk about the actual practice that we've installed on the lower two lots, or we've designed for the lower two lots on Jubilee. Thanks.
See if I can work this thing here. Essentially, you saw the flow coming across Tibbetts Road. This is the access road to Jubilee Estates right now. This is a culvert and a structure. And essentially what we did was we worked within the limits of the two northeast parcels that the town had purchased for this project. And you'll see, I guess it's sort of hard to picture, but essentially what we have here are two detention basins connected by a single 24-inch conduit. The reason we went with two basins, we could, of course, make one large basin here that can take all the water and not essentially waste as much land with grading. However, between the west side of the parcel and Oxford Road, there's 15 to 20-foot difference in elevation. So if we were to make one large basin that could control more water and reduce the peak a little more, you'd have to have a 15 to 20-foot dam along Oxford Road, which falls into a high-hazard category and is extremely expensive for the town. This is a value-engineered option, whereas we have two basins that work in unison. The flow coming across Tibbetts comes down and enters the first basin. The flow from the drainage swale at the north side of Jubilee Estates will be intercepted using a most likely going to be a concrete head wall or an earthen structure here, diverted towards the top basin. As this fills up, it will run through the conduit to the lower basin. If this upper basin does overtop, which it's designed to do in certain storms, through a spillway to the lower basin, All of this flow will be collected in the lower point and distributed or conveyed out a single 24-inch pipe to a structure along Oxford Road and down from there.
And what we're going to talk about a little bit now is how did we arrive at this? Yes, Mr. Mayor.
He's recognized. Are these basins intended to be dry?
Yes, sir. They'll be dry. They will not be ponds. They will not be retaining water. It will be basically a maintained lawn type area.
I just wanted to ask the question because some people might want to know.
Yep.
He didn't mention it.
No.
But you probably were going to get there. No, I just, this young lady over here just said mosquitoes, no mosquitoes. Mm-hmm.
Well, we understand that, and they will have water in them at times, but hopefully that water will be gone within 24 hours.
Yeah.
So now, how did we come about this? How did we come about this whole project? We're going to have a little bit of hydrology lessons here. I'm not going to tell you all the secrets because I got to keep my job. This is a graph of the perfect rainstorm. The perfect rainstorm, which is used in typical engineering applications. The standard curve here, the standard distribution curve with the triangles, shows the perfect storm, well-behaved storm, starts at midnight, goes through the whole next day, and stops promptly at midnight the next night. It's a 24-hour design storm. This is called a dimensionless hydrograph, okay? Basically what this means is intensity versus time. The storm starts raining, it peaks at noon the next day, and then it starts diminishing. This is the way, the accepted way of engineering design. Is that the way it really rains? No, it doesn't really rain like this. It rains really, really hard for 2 hours and then stops for a couple hours. But engineering being applied math, this is the best model that's recognized by the Soil Conservation Service. So this is how we arrived at this. And it's accepted, and this is the United States, New York State standard way of modeling. So we have a rainfall intensity curve, starts promptly at midnight, peaks at noon, and then drops off. And this is the rain start, and this is the rate at which it falls, and this is the cumulative mass of rain until it gets to one. It's dimensionless, okay? It has no dimensions. There's no gallons on here. There's no cubic feet. This is what we apply factors to do the math to make this work. So, this well-behaved, perfect storm, Chet, if you next slide, please. We took a generic 100-acre site. Okay, this is a generic, this is not this project, but it turns out it's uncannily similar. And this shows, as you can imagine, if we have the rainfall distribution which comes on, peaks at noon, and drops off, well, the runoff from a given site will mimic that. It will be slightly attenuated based on slope of the land, ground cover, soil types, land use, etc. It'll be slightly altered, but generally speaking, the runoff curve from a given piece of land will mimic the rain that fell on it. And this is a given piece of land. It's 50% residential, 50% agricultural, which is uncannily similar to what we're dealing with at this area. And you see it peaks roughly at, and this has numbers associated with, it's going to peak at roughly 85 to 90 CFS. It's where the peak run, cubic feet per second of runoff. If you want to turn that into gallons, multiply it by 7.5. It's at least sticking in cubic feet per second. The peak runoff is roughly 85 on this generic piece of property. Next one. Now, the impact of putting a pond on that piece of property takes that peak. Remember that peak was at 85? Well, now we put a pond with a single pipe going out. That single pipe has one capacity to let water out. A 12-inch pipe or a 24-inch pipe has some number of water that will go through that pipe. And this is the impact of putting a pond with a pipe in it. And you see, we went from 85 cubic feet per second at the outlet to roughly 20 cubic feet per second at the peak runoff. And you see what, and as you think about it, the pond fills, it's raining, the pond's filling, and then that pipe starts discharging water, and then the storm stops, but that pipe's still discharging water, and the pond's filling up, as the storm is going on, the pipe is discharging, but it can only discharge at a given steady rate. So what we see is the pond keeps filling up, but the pipe is discharging at a steady rate. The rain stops, and then the level of the pond drops down. Now, on the previous slide, that peak happened in about 4 hours. The water came, the water went. But now this time, and we talked about having a dry pond versus a wet pond, this time the pond has water in it for roughly 12 hours until it's empty. And what we've effectively done is we've detained that water up in the watershed in that pond and let the pipe throttle the downstream flow. And what we hope to do is find that sweet spot. The size of pipe that won't flood out Oxford Town, yet the size pond that's within our 2-lot limit. So you can see it's a very, we're balancing act. So we need to come up with the best solution, and we think we've done that with this 2-pond scenario. Yes, ma'am.
Now, if they continue to do building up the road there,
yes,
and they decide to put another 25 houses up there, let's say, is the pond that you're planning to put in going to be able to handle that?
Yes, ma'am. It's at the full build-out scenario for Longworth and Jubilee.
What happens if we get another storm like we had in June 06?
Well, June 06, I haven't put numbers on that storm. I don't know exactly what this will handle.
This area hasn't dried out since then.
I'm sorry?
This area hasn't dried out since then.
Since 06?
We've had at least 5 more floods since then.
Well, you're right. I can't explain why. I'm hard-pressed to explain why we've had so many. But the idea is to make it so that we manage.
Well, I guess the question is, are these ponds going to be able to handle that kind of rain again?
I don't know what kind of storm that was, Roger. I really don't know what kind of storm. I'm hoping, yes.
20 inches of water in 5 days? Something like that?
Two 100-year storms.
I'm going to tell you, no. We can't handle 2 100-year storms. Even at the 100-year storm, the best you can do from an engineering perspective is manage the flow to route it overland out of the area as best as you can.
Now, if this thing gets completely full, the whole thing is going to spill over then? Can it go over its own banks?
There will be spillways. There will be emergency spillways. Some of that water will be able to be, most of that water should be able to manage by the downstream infrastructure. I'm not going to say there won't be problems if we get a 100-year storm, especially downstream. But these ponds will be designed to sustain it. So that's a little hydrology basics. Now we're going to show you the actual numbers for the numbers that came from the computer program for this. And Chet, I'm going to turn it over to Chet. He does all the technical talk.
What we're looking at here is real similar graphic to the previous, except that we're showing a couple of different variables all in one chart. This is you remember we had the two triangular ponds, an upper and a lower pond. This is the runoff from the pipe coming under Tibbetts Road and the interceptor pipe coming from the swale behind Jubilee. It's coming in a 10-year storm at a little over 80 CFS, cubic feet per second. The outlet pipe, there's a 24-inch going from that upper basin to the lower one. It's at the peak rate that it will be discharging into the lower basin, it's pushing out around 30 CFS. Over the spillway, I had mentioned there's a spillway between the two, connecting the two basins, and have about 4 CFS. So at the 10-year storm, that upper basin is full, overtopping into the lower basin. And you see the combined, this gray hydrograph behind it is just a combination of what's going out the pipe and what's going over the spillway. So this is the total out. So you have the total in to the upper basin, total out to the lower basin. It's about 34.5 CFS. So you take that 34.5 CFS, run it into your lower basin, and you'll see the lower basin provides additional storage and additional control to that outlet. Essentially, at the 10-year storm, you have 0 CFS going over the spillway, which would be the emergency spillway back to the old drainage paths as existing. Through the 24-inch diameter pipe going to the new structure along Oxford Road, you have about 25 CFS. This model, as we have it right now, there's a downstream pipe that's a restricting pipe underneath the driveway Kurt mentioned earlier, can handle a little over 18 CFS, so you still have a few CFS over that. However, right now we're in the process of getting good topography, a new survey for this lot, to try and engineer the basins to bring them out and provide a little bit more storage so that we can match that culvert without having to do any repairs downstream.
What are you talking about?
Kirk, do you know the lot?
It's the second culvert down from Jubilee Estates.
Well,
residential
the first one under the driveway, second one is under my driveway, the third one...
Well, it would be the third one then. The third one.
Yeah, the Irish
concrete.
That's ours.
Is that ours?
Yes, it's yours. I guess it's yours. Is it theirs?
Up and over.
Directly over across from Kellogg?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. If that's where it goes up, spills
yeah.
up and over.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the, what the design basis is going to be hinged on.
Yeah, that thing here is probably 2-3 foot.
It's taken at least a foot and a half to 2 foot off of our front lawn.
It's 30-inch pipe.
It's 30-inch, just like mine.
It's a 30-inch pipe.
Mm-hmm. Based on that one is the...
Run quick, I'll cover it.
That one is the restricting pipe based on... If you have a pipe, say a 12-inch diameter pipe, if it's run flat, it can handle so much water. If it's sloped a little more, it can handle a bit more. And as you tip it, obviously like pouring glass water, you can handle a little bit more depending on the slope. And that one has the lowest slope in that series, so it's the restricting piece.
Now, where does it go once the water goes underneath there? Is it going in the... Because there's like a little creek that's across from our house that then goes underneath mm-hmm. the apartment.
Yeah, there's a 48-inch pipe culvert that goes under Oxford Road, just down. It crosses sort of at a diagonal. And then it actually turns and follows Oxford Road for about maybe one lot. And then it opens up into a creek that goes down into Oxford Town. It's crossed by Gateshead and some others.
Yeah, that is normally has like that much water in it, but some of these rainstorms has been overflowing, and some child's going to drown in there.
Yes.
So will this water be rushing?
It'll be less than that. It'll be less than, hopefully the upstream controls.
So right now what you see is the numbers will change a little bit. The inflow won't change because the inflow is based on build-out upstream. It'll still be 80 CFS coming in. What we're going to try to do now with the final design is narrow down this 24 and get it to a point where it coordinates with the downstream infrastructure at the 10-year storm.
Does anybody know how many billable lots are left in Jubilee?
Honestly, no.
Two less than there was about a month ago. This takes two of them.
It's fully developed. By the time it gets fully developed, this retention plan will no longer be effective.
Oh, no, we designed it for the full build-out.
For the full build-out.
Yes,
so how many more houses is that? Do you know?
It's approximately 10. It started with 23.
Yeah.
There's between the owners, two houses, and the others that have been built, I think 8 houses off these two.
Is there going to be anything done with the lower structure below that culvert, like when you go down towards Atlanta Terrace and Woodbury? So that's where we're having the floodplains now. That's what we got to put down last time. You got open ditches and you got culverts that go underneath the road, and you got one down by the store that has a basin in it where it all flows into, and then that takes it down towards Woodbury. And what's happening with all this water is they can't handle it. You know, they only got the same thing, 24-inch, 30-inch pipe. Yeah. And it just jacks up from the basement to everything else.
Is that where it cuts under Oxford Road to go over to Oxford Town, or is it further down Oxford Road?
Further down. They're talking the Woodbury area.
Yeah, Woodbury, that's a whole different can of worms, unfortunately, and it has its own... Theoretically, after we build these basins, we should be well within the capacity of the ditches as well as the Oxford Town 48-inch infrastructure and get some of these choke points out of... We're going to possibly make some ditch improvements along Oxford Road, but that's actually down beyond where this water's going to end up. Down Oxford Road further.
You're just turning that across Oxford Road, and we should just have a regular runoff after that. You're saying we're probably getting some of this water now, and down the lower side?
You may be, because of a flooded infrastructure up above.
Question?
Yeah, my concern is we discuss a lot about water, but water carries a lot of things. And there's a huge drain in front of my yard, and I'm out at 3:30 in the morning shoveling silt. So, you're talking all the flow of water here, but I've got car bumpers, telephone poles, and power lines in my culvert. So, I mean, you've got debris flowing with this water. now you're going to start clogging up all these wonderful pipes with debris. What, how do you plan to control the silt that's flowing with this water?
One
that
thing.
That would clog me up. That's how my base turned up.
One thing that.
Around the corner from Kellogg.
Well, at least with these basins, one thing we will design in is a sump, essentially, so that they can go in. The silt, some silt will collect. Of course, some's always going to make it downstream. Some silt will collect, and they can, it can be cleaned out and excavated at a periodic schedule. But it doesn't solve all the problems, but it's certainly a step in the right direction.
Well, after the fact, it's nice, but I'm saying with the storms coming with the flow of water during... However you divert the water, the water's carrying stuff with it during the storm. I was just curious how you plan to... I don't know if the silt is coming from the dewy estate or it's picked up along the way. Mm-hmm. It's a very fine, grainy silt, so it's coming from somewhere. But is there something in this basin that you're building to deflect the silt, to stop the silt from moving?
Well, velocity is reduced, so... There's less siltation when the velocity is reduced because the water's not traveling as fast. There's going to be less water and slower traveling water.
That's true. You'll have less volume per second, so you'll have less material moving. It'll be at a slower rate. But the only thing you can really do in a basin is it's twofold. You can put bar grates on the outlets to hold back large debris. And as far as silt, the only thing that you can do is have a permanent pool that holds water.
You don't
like
that either.
Well, usually people don't like permanent pools of water.
But the structure, the first one, is going to act somewhat as a settling basin. Mm-hmm. And then when it hits the overflow, hopefully some of it will have settled out already before it hits. It'll clean it up a little bit as it travels through.
Like I say, this will help, but it's not going to prevent silt problems. This is more of a quantity or a rate control structure than it is a silt collection.
So you'll have to dig out that those basins every few years, every like 10 years or so?
Right. It would have a something standing in there so you can see how much silt's building over time, essentially some reference base point.
They're just dirt basins?
Yes, well, they'll be grassed.
When will you start doing this?
Roger, when will we start this construction?
As soon as you guys get through, we're designing it.
We get the design finalized.
Yeah, 2 years to our next storm, right?
No. ASAP. Right now we're getting a construction baseline.
In the hospital, ASAP is about 15 minutes, so.
No. Yeah. With the
we're looking for the construction.
This summer.
Yes.
Yeah. But understand, under public procurement law, There has to be advertised, it has to be bid, it has to be awarded, and there's certain steps that have to go through, all of which take time. There is a process that is, we're bound by law. But right now we're getting a construction baseline surveyed so that it actually can be constructed with a contractor competitively bid.
This is going to be completed by the summer?
Yes, ma'am.
Because right now, we just got a hold of a contractor to give us an estimate because we bought a new car, and we can't get in and out of our driveway without scraping bottom.
So we got the big speed bump there.
Yeah, it's terrible.
We just had that done, too.
And he's supposed to do it next month.
The county actually took care of ours.
The county, and you live?
I'm on the corner of Oxford and Kellogg.
Okay.
Right, if you're looking at the end of our driveway, you look at that giant ravine that comes down. You were talking about crosses under Oxford.
What are you, one Kellogg?
Well, it's 157 Oxford.
Okay.
Obviously, there was an acquisition of two lots for this. As you see on the drawings, there's still a third undeveloped lot and a fourth undeveloped lot. We think two is enough. But obviously, if their problems continue, there still is room to actually add more detention.
Is that a scientific decision, or is that a guess?
Well, more.
Oh, that's just a statement. More is always better, especially.
Are we going to own the land, so they're not going to like build a
the
house
town,
on it?
The town
is purchasing it.
They already purchased it, so you're not going to build a house, and then you're going to come along and say, "Hey, we want to build another pond."
No, the town will own the land.
Okay.
And we'll have easements in there for maintenance.
Let me ask you a question. What liability does the developer have in all this?
Jubilee.
We discussed that, and we're saying this is where we're at. We're moving forward, and we're not looking back.
What does that mean? That's okay for them up in Jubilee Estates, but our properties have had serious damage done to them. Rocco just had his basement flooded again the other day because of the small storms. Mm-hmm. You know, what liability these people have up there?
I don't know. I'm not an attorney. I don't know.
Just the water we got last week flooded out the end of our driveway.
That's when Rocco's basement got flooded again.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't take a large storm to get wash out the whole driveway.
No, that's absolutely true.
It needs to be done ASAP.
Yes, sir.
The capacity of this project basically dictated by the number of lots that were purchased by the town. As in, if we purchase more, it could handle more.
Sure. Yes.
So you basically built it to the largest capacity it will hold based on the lots given to you.
Yes.
Because I'm wondering if we should be encouraging.
But it was based on a feasibility assessment. Don't know. They didn't just say, okay, we're going to buy two. This was arrived at through our input as the amount of land needed to adequately address this build-out capacity scenario. So it was, they sought our consent. It wasn't an arbitrary number of lots bought. But what I guess I'm saying is there are more lots available. Should this become a very desirable regional solution, this may be one that you choose to consider more of. Yes, sir.
Was it the 10-year storm that you were studying that brought the conclusion for two lots instead of four? In other words, should we encourage our $2 million to be looking at 100-year floods and buy four lots now before they go up?
We based it on the 10-year storm because we're finding through experience and working in this area that the storms less than the 10-year storm are causing 90% of the problems of the flooding issues. We will obviously design up through the 50-year storm at least. Once again, the 100-year storm, the best you can do in any situation on a 100-year storm, a 100-year storm is a 5-inch rainstorm over 24 hours. A 100-year storm, the best you can do is control that overland flow through weirs, stabilized outlets, and stabilized channels so that everything doesn't wash away downstream. And that's the idea behind the 100-year storm control.
It's 5 inches of rain over 24-hour period?
Yes, sir. That's
it.
We've had several hundred-year storms, then.
Because two Thursdays ago, I had 8 inches. Well, I don't know how you figure that out.
You got over 5 inches in that storm the other week.
Yeah, definitely way more than 5 inches.
Are you prepared to double these ponds? So is doubling these ponds going to guarantee your safety?
Can you just touch base when we talk about the 100-year storm? What impact would this system have on reducing the flow of a 100-year storm? I mean, the folks here aren't going to see a 100-year storm impact today as they would when this project is done.
The impact would definitely be less on a 100-year storm, but you would still have overflowing infrastructure on a 100-year storm because there's nothing downstream built for the 100-year storm either.
So what you're saying is no matter how many ponds you put in, the water's still going to end up in Oxford.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, because this is going to satisfy...
Then what problem are you fixing?
The upstream problems. The downstream problems that exist already are going to continue to exist because we're not going to change the storm sewers out of Oxford Town, for example.
That does us no good.
You're looking at making a flooding event less frequent by this work. You can't guarantee that.
Less frequent. It happens every week now. I mean, it rains a little bit. Now, I can't use my backyard. It's like a sponge. There's nothing but water in it.
He's right. We got 5 inches of rain about a week ago.
Well, it's tough to, like I said, we had 8 inches in our basement and 8 inches in our garage. Doesn't mean we had 8 inches of rainfall.
No, but we got 5 inches of rainfall.
Okay, well then.
Well, the mess station on Grafenberg Road said you had 1.8 inches.
Well, this is not Grafenberg Road.
Well, that's the nearest one I have. That's the nearest one we have for use by the town.
It's all about accumulation.
like we live at, we get a lot of water from that upper area.
Correct.
You know, so it just ends up like siphoning. Our driveway acts as the siphon for all of that water, for the funnel. I mean, not the siphon, the funnel for all that water, and then it just goes into our house because that's the next lowest point, and then it goes out of our house into behind us, Rockville or whatever.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why not to put in 3 or 4 ponds now? How much more expensive is it going to be worth?
Well, the lots were $50,000.
Well, you said you have already purchased enough lots so that we could, instead of putting in 2, put in more.
No, these
two lots
were purchased on the advice of us to solve the 90th percentile problem downstream.
Is anybody here from the planning board? I have a question. If that subdivision, before it went in, had to have a retaining pond, how come Jubilee didn't have to have one? Maybe you could tell me about it.
From my understanding, back when Jubilee was proposed and there was planning involved, there was engineering studies done by an engineering firm to put that structure in. And what we're seeing today is that structure, even though it was designed and it was approved by the engineers, was not adequate to what we're doing today. That's why the town is taking the stand today that we want to mitigate this, we want to reduce it, we want to take care of it once and for all.
Then why are we as taxpayers accepting a liability? Why aren't we going after the guy that developed it to begin with that didn't put the ponds in?
Well, Roger, you might be able to comment on that, but we have
sounds like it's a legal issue that nobody wants to kick around. But
exactly.
And while we're dealing with a legal issue, nothing else is getting solved.
Has anybody ever seen any water in that pond on Longworth Acres?
Not a drop.
That's right. It's drier than a bone.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
No, there's never been any water in there since it's been dug.
I mean, the solution is fine for keeping water off the road and drain it, but the bottom line is it still come downhill and ended up in our subdivision.
These guys, too, I spoke to him before. I'd like to take you up there and walk you through Long Meadow. Because your lines of drainage here are all wet. I've been through there.
I respectfully accept that comment, but the surveys that I've searched and my sidewalks say elsewhere.
I've been working with engineers for 40 years, and I make mistakes, and so do they. And I respectfully say that the drainage coming off of Longworth is not going down across. You'd have to go uphill. It'd have to go uphill because the topography of the land goes up. The drain line that you've got going down through Long Meadows, it doesn't go that way. It shifts and goes under Snowden Hill. And I've been up there all afternoon.
Okay.
I'll be glad to take you, it's my son's property, and walk through that woods. And back of those houses on Snowden, there's a big, deep ravine up above Snowden by the power line. There's a huge swale.
Yes, sir.
And another fence line up there, it comes in. That fence line going out, there's a swale there. And when it rains, I've seen the water go hell-bent for election down through there. I'd be glad to take you up there and show you, if it makes any difference. If it makes a difference. If it don't...
If we could redraw these lines, I would redraw the lines. But
what I'm saying to you, sir, is if it would make a difference, fine. If it don't make any difference, deal with it. But what I'm saying now, if you're going to put all this into it, and you blew it, now's the time to bite the bullet.
You got
to
understand, the pond that was built in Longworth was built for a Longworth that has 11 or 12 very large houses on it. And right now there are no houses on Longworth, so we're not even close to the developed out stage. So that pond there was built for the future growth in mind, not for today's condition in mind.
Well, I don't know what it was put there for. It was not a drop of ever water ever been in it since day one. In the topography of those lots up there, they go like this. It sweeps down, comes down under Snowden Hill Road. Back in that woods, there's 3 big ravines. And there's a swale above them. I've been there.
Well, then I guess without a full survey, we wouldn't be able to make any judgments.
That's true. Why make a judgment in haste? Because I'm telling you, I'm just an old electrician. I've been up there all day mowing. I know that place. I've been back in the woods. I've seen the water run up. It's not going the way you guys got it showing. Yeah, I could be wrong, but I'd gladly take you up there and show you.
If it's not, it's even better.
That may be. That may be. What I'm trying to say is, if it doesn't go towards across Tibbetts and into Jubilee, maybe you're going in the wind. I don't know.
Okay. Any other questions?
Anybody wants to go, I'd be glad to take you out there.
My question is that if you don't address the downstream outflow, eventually it will back up. And down the road, it will the same thing will happen when you're holding the water.
I agree with him. Is there any study being done to change downstream the influx of the water once it gets down there instead of having that back all the way?
It's already been done. It was already done. We looked at the flow all the way down to the point where it goes under the railroad tracks down here. And as you come up through Oxford Town, there's a big 4-inch culvert. That would have to be upsized. As you come up through Oxford Town, there are numerous driveways. They would all have to be upsized or improved.
Why isn't that being considered?
They were considered. The choice was made to detain the water upstream and reduce those flows downstream than to change, than to just route more water through the watershed. Keep it up in the hill where it was originated. And instead of changing all that infrastructure through Gateshead and under the driveways that go through Oxford Town, there are at least two culverts and then a big 4-foot diameter culvert. And the prices on those were upwards of $1 million to do all those jobs. Rather than increase the infrastructure to handle more flow, the decision was, let's throttle the flow in the upland areas and reduce the flow through this downstream infrastructure.
If this doesn't work, then will you go to a plan B and then...
Well, that would obviously be next. If we still have some choke points, that would obviously be next.
So this system is going to reduce the amount of flow that's coming down into the existing infrastructure, hence reducing the overflow, hence reducing the water that's going to your pump.
It's still
going
to rain.
You're not going to address any existing problems that have been created by Jubilee Estates, is what you're saying.
No, this does.
We have a basement that's a mess. We have a backyard that's a mess.
I've seen the water come down. Sure, the homes. This is going to prevent that from shooting across the
water. But the damage has already been done. So what we're saying is anybody going to be held legally liable to those of us who have spent $250,000 for a house that we can't ever walk in our backyard?
We've got yards that are sinking. I mean, my yard now has probably dropped at least 2 foot. In the past 2 years, it keeps going down. You can't walk across it because you sink this far in it. It never dries out. Where's the water being retained? Why can't we get rid of it?
Well, number one, the plan development had plans for the runoff ponds to be built. The developer didn't build them. The planning department in this town and the engineers in this town didn't make sure that they were built as the plan was accepted, and now the taxpayers are...
Yeah, you're skirting the issue.
What's the issue?
No,
they are.
They are. They should have been done.
Who's they? The town?
Yeah.
They should have gone back to Jubilee.
Then why are we buying lots from a developer that didn't put the ponds in as accepted by the town?
Exactly.
You should have given us the lots.
$50,000 for lots that should have been ponds for retention ditches, retention ponds.
And just maybe it would have handled some of that water that came in 06.
And the same thing is going to happen on Longworth Acres. Because as this gentleman said, no water has ever been in those.
The original design did not call for detention ponds by the estates.
Well, that's what this gentleman just said.
No.
Yes, he did.
He just said that, sir.
What?
That the planned development on Jubilee Acres.
Roger, did you say that?
No, I did not say that. I didn't say that.
The theory was that the series of weirds.
Yes, you did.
You certainly did, Roger.
Yes, you did, Roger. I heard it.
There's three or four of us that heard you say it.
Well, it's not true.
No,
if he said it, it's not true.
You've seen the plan development for Jubilee and the environmental impact study that was done for Jubilee?
No, there was nothing designed. Nothing designed back then when the engineer... Again, I wasn't involved back then, but...
I realize that.
No, there was
But
none.
Are you saying that the environmental impact study that was done for Jubilee Estates didn't have the retention ponds into it?
That's correct.
It did not.
That's correct.
Then why did you say that?
Well, I don't know where you're coming from.
Neil, let's move on, but that's the truth. Any other questions? We got engineers in here. We got Roger that's been here for time. So,
we may have a legal recourse against these developers. Is it possible to use too many money to come this
petition? I have no idea. I'm not an attorney. That is not what I said.
Can we meet with the town attorney? We need some legal answers, right? Questions answered.
The issue right now is to prevent this from going downstream.
No, the issue is the town's got a liability to us as taxpayers for not doing something about this area. This paralysis by analysis is getting ridiculous. Every time I turn around, it's raining and we're getting flooded again. Now, I'm sorry to lose my temper a little bit, Bob, but no, you were at my house. You saw what was going on. And it keeps going on. I got a $250,000 investment. I can't even sell the house without telling people about all this water problem.
I've been up on Forest Road for 16 years. In the past 2 years, same time yours flooded in 2006, my basement flooded, never flooded since. There's no development going up in me. Am I supposed to go and sue the neighbor?
But your predecessor board before you took office had a study done. It was done in November 2005 that also said that this needed to be addressed immediately. It's been 3 years. Nothing's happened. How long do I have to wait?
It's happening now.
I'm sorry, but you're not getting flooded anymore, are you?
I got flooded 2 weeks ago.
Okay, well... come down and walk through my backyard.
No, I've been
to Rocco's house next time it rains.
I've been down there. I've been up in Woodbury. Been there. I know what you guys are going through.
Is it telling me that these problems down by us then?
It's exactly what we're trying to do.
No.
We're trying to address
it. You're going
to
address Jubilee.
This is going to address.
What about the damage that's already been done to our homes? Is that going to be addressed?
We can talk about this after.
Okay.
But look, we're just simple engineers. We can't help you with lawsuits or anything like that. We just have a technical solution. It takes a ton of work. It takes a ton of work to come up with these answers. Trust me on that. It takes a lot of walking around. It takes a lot of driving around. It takes a lot of consultation. We've consulted with the Stormwater Board numerous times. And we've consulted with the DPW supervisor. We didn't just arbitrarily come up with buying two lots. We feel confident that the two pond scenario will enable us to control the upstream flow so that the downstream infrastructure is well within its limits, even with the planned build out of the upstream watershed. Okay? That's just the simple engineer talking. I can't help with land investments. I can't help with any of that. But I can tell you, the solution has been, we've come up with it. We're about 90% on the drawings. We need, once again, we get the plans out. We just wanted to make this presentation. Now, how much is this thing going to cost? So I want to get through this next slide so we can all go home knowing that this is extremely expensive. We have a conceptual estimate here. I'm sorry, it's very small, it's very busy. The bottom line is all that construction with the weirs, the ponds, the earthwork, excluding the land acquisition, the fencing, we estimate $327,700 for that contract element. Now, there is some contingency in there, and there is some design development yet to be done. We may choose to take more of these two lots. As you noticed, we were following the 35-foot setback limits. We might take them out a little bit more. We may make some modifications to the layout. There is a little maintenance road that we've got designed on. Maybe we can do without some of that. But right now, our estimate at this point in time is $327,000, almost $328,000.
Once we start building, how long will this take to do?
A month. It's earthwork. Happens pretty easily.
Now, how many hoops you got to jump through before you can do the work, Roger? I mean, is this got to go before the board and go through a whole bunch of stuff?
We get the plans done. The board approves us going out for advertisement. And it's maybe a two to three week process. We receive bids. We canvass the bids, take a look at the low bidder, see if they're qualified. And I'd say within a month, they could be up there.
I mean, because the bond issue passed, there's no problem with the funding.
The money's there.
No problem there.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to stand behind your work?
Sir, it's my stamp. I have no choice.
Downstream?
You're building a house at the bottom of the hill?
I don't own any real estate, any of this area.
I got a house to sell you. Running water, the creek in the back.
You got a question back there.
Ultimately, it seems like the water is eventually going to get where it's always gotten before.
Yes, ma'am.
And the runoffs or the arrangements that you've made up with the Longworth and Tribune and all that is like you're making a contingency so that building can continue. That seems like that's the point of all this. So you could put more in the runoffs, you know, and not have to worry about, okay, we're covered from now on, let's keep building up there. But there's a problem up there already that hasn't been solved. It's not built, I mean, and it's not going anywhere. I mean, it seems like you're covering yourself for the future, but we're not having any solutions about the present. If you're covering yourself for future building,
the planning board is represented on the stormwater group, and they are very seriously looking right now because this area is in what we'll call the Eastern Southern Generic Environmental Impact Statement area, and they are looking very diligently at land use options, especially in the undeveloped areas, and taking a hard look at that. If that goes forward, it would translate into zoning, and that would have a big impact. Give you a good example, the Woodbury Beechwood area. We're looking at all kinds of improvements over there also. But one of the things we're looking at is possibly looking for large lot development up on the hillside. That may, in fact, negate the need to purchase land to buy a detention basin. So sometimes if we can look at land use as a stormwater tool, it's a lot less costly than man getting in there trying to dig ditches and basins and all this kind of stuff. So people are looking at exactly what you're talking about.
Well, when Shoemaker came to examine the runoff that you're talking about, this triangle here, they said that they were to stop at Kellogg Road and to not go the other side of Kellogg Road, like across from the police station in Cornfield, and all that totally. You know where the lots are, I'm talking about there. They stopped there. They stopped, and they wouldn't. You see where it goes after here? It goes in. This is our problem. This is our problem here. And I don't see any. I see it being addressed from above, and I can sort of get my, hands around the idea of, okay, if it doesn't come down, then you won't have such a problem. But it seems like the reason that you're going up for that shot up there is so you can continue building up there.
Please be assured that those kinds of issues that you're talking about are being looked at.
Can I have another question? Many of the areas of the Jubilee area has not developed yet.
Right.
When the rains, ground absorbs a lot of the rainwater. But when they build up, they will overflow again. So this pond will be outdated by that. What is the life will be that to these ponds you are talking about? Then you have to do something again for that one.
He's already said it's been designed to accommodate a full
But aren't they considered that this land has not developed yet? They will be selling more.
They've said it a bunch of times now.
Yes. Yeah. Because the same thing happening on the Route 5, every few years they develop a blockade, but every time it rains, it's slowed down.
Right. The problem is water is going to go where the lowest point is.
That's why downstream is more important than upstream.
The bonding issue.
You're talking upstream that you're going upside down.
Kellogg, that's a real area.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of it's being spent.
The zoning regulations were followed explicitly when we determined the build out. Any of those lots up there could be 30% impervious. So an acre and a half lot conceivably could have a half an acre under a roof, under asphalt, and that's what we use as guidance for determining the future conditions. 30% impervious.
Shouldn't there be a moratorium on building up there until we get this problem settled?
That's a really good idea.
I can't answer that question.
I don't think they can control
Roger?
That.
I'm sorry.
Should there be a moratorium on building more houses up there until we get this settled?
I don't know. That's an issue for the town board to deal with. But it's a point well taken.
That's a great idea.
Sir, I saw a hand.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the there was a study of the underground geology in the area to find out where the water's going once it gets in the ground. Because we seem to have it coming up from underneath. We're on Todd Road, just below where Heritage crosses. It doesn't have anything to do with runoff. It's not coming across the surface. It's coming up underneath.
We have the same thing in our basement on Oxford.
So you got a sand lens and a spring.
Who?
We haven't done any recharge, groundwater recharge, and we haven't done any studies of that sort. Hopefully, well, I don't know what we can do about recharge. So I don't know if there's anything that can be done about.
Can you explain what that?
If the stormwater gets into a sand layer that goes horizontally downhill, it's going to get in that sand layer and it's going to come out wherever it comes out. Obviously, in your yard, it must come out. And it's hard to find out where it's coming from, and it's hard to find out why.
How do you find that out?
He just told me.
A hydrogeologist.
That seems to be occurring. We're putting retention ponds. It could be getting into the ground, skirting out the ground, ending up in everybody's backyard, and still filling those drains. It's just the same.
Oh, you're thinking about using the talking about the detention ponds becoming a point of recharge.
Maybe it's getting in below that. Maybe there is a sand layer there that's skirting underneath, and it's not even going to be affected by the retention ponds. You still end up, once you're down the hill further, right in the bottom ditch and have the same overflow problem that I'm having now.
Well,
it just makes sense to me to look at the underlying geology to make sure that kind of thing isn't going to happen.
No, it does make sense of looking at that, and we are going to be looking at the layers in the soil surveys, but if we take more of it and control it in the overland flow, then the ground hopefully won't come super saturated as it is, because I'm on Hartford Terrace, and a couple weeks ago I saw water coming up through the basement that I haven't seen before. So right now we have a super saturated condition, and I think hopefully if we mitigate it by using the structures that are there already, that hopefully that'll help that situation. But it is something that we're going to be looking at. I mean, at least at a cursory level.
Is the town going to clear out some of the culverts that are still open ditches? Because like she said, a lot of that construction stuff came down, and I went on the corner of Ackley Road and the old drive. And a lot of that crushed stone and whatever the reason for construction, that still got down in the culvert. And once the water recedes, it's laying in the culvert.
We actually do some of the ditching and culvert cleaning for the county. And we'll take a hard look in the area this
summer. So I know the county's in town.
At
the corner of Oxford and Kellogg,
no, it's dead.
Just from last 2 weeks ago.
Is there one to call to have those emptied down? I'm next to the corner of Oxford and Kellogg as well. It's like 60% blocked, and I'm just maybe a couple of houses up from the deck. Who can I call and say, hey, clean this out? Because right now,
well, you can call the county, and the county will turn around and call us. And ask us
we got the address there. First of all, I appreciate everything you've done. I'm trusting your expertise that you knew this is the number of lots to buy and this you think is the best for the situation. You see, I appreciate your work. I have a kind of selfish question. I'm across the street from those two big retention nets, which is really called retention pond. I'm just wondering aesthetically what this will look like for the few houses that are right there across the street. Well, I enjoy looking at the nice field right now. What will this look like when we're done?
It can be addressed the way we proposed it, at least for cost purpose, was chain link fence, which I know isn't big chain link fence, which I know isn't the prettiest solution, but we can always look at some types of plantings to essentially hide that and allow access.
So it costs $55,000 for a chain link fence?
That's a 1 year old price with no escalation, $50 a foot.
Well, the water typically runs 12 hours.
It does, in the case
I mean,
that
someone could drown right now in any of these.
sure, but as being new construction, you have to comply with the existing building code.
Yeah, there's a code, yeah. Even though it's most of the time empty. But so I have to look at a fence, even though it usually doesn't hold water.
Sure.
Okay, but is there a possibility in this to put in the shrubs and greenery? Because I don't want to look at chain link fence. I mean, a lot of these people here are being protected, their house is being protected by flooding. Thankfully, I don't have that problem. My neighbor certainly does, right next to me. Now you're hurting my value if you're putting up in a beautiful field, you know, to give me kind of a rural effect there, and you're putting up chain link fence. Is that possible to do this now?
I assume that the plantings, depending on how extravagant you wanted to get, but it
very extravagant.
That's the positive end of it. I would assume something like that. You're not talking about land grading and extremely large costs. I would assume that's covered in contingency for a future budget, for a final budget.
In a sense, assuming maybe we need to talk about putting that in.
You should
want to put it in this alternative.
It's certainly noted. It will be
noted. Noted.
Is that a 30% contingency?
Yes, sir. Are there any other questions? If not, I thank you all for coming tonight. I really appreciate it.
What is the next
We'll be around to answer any questions you have. So. Please feel free to come up and talk to either the engineers or myself. Thank you very much.